All right. After the manifestations, we can pretty much go home. Everything I was going to say is there. It's amazing how God figures that out. Go to Hebrews chapter 4 in your Bible. This is fellowship with the Father. And if you listen to the manifestations, God constantly wanted us to do exactly that, have fellowship with Him. And in all areas of our lives, whether things are going good, sometimes when things are going so good, we just don't want to talk to God. Things are going good. I don't need to talk to God. Well, that's our problem, not God's. Or things are going so bad that I'm embarrassed to talk to God. And God, in the manifestations, as He says in His Word, has come to me at all times. Because He's a loving, caring, tender, and He'll throw thunderbolts at you and help you lose your hair and things. And No. He cares. No, that's what happened at an early age. No, he loves us so much. Here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, He exhorts us, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I lived in Brooklyn for a year with an Irishman, Mick Herron. And old Mick, before he understood the greatness of God's word, he crawled on his knees to kiss the Blarney Stone because that was where he was supposed to get the luck that he needed to help his life out. Well, it didn't help. It wasn't until he learned the accuracy of God's word that that's what changed his life and heart and everything. And I think of that when I read, "Come boldly unto the throne of grace." A big difference coming boldly than crawling on your knees as a humble, you know, worthless individual. God says, "You're my child, come boldly unto the throne of grace." And that's what it is. It's a throne of grace. It's a throne of mercy. This is where we get grace. This is where we get mercy so that it can help us in the time of need. So when is the time of need? Pretty much every day, right? There's pretty much a lot of things that from, you know, making it to work on time, all kinds of great things that are happening in our lives. See, the word boldly in this verse, "let us come boldly," is the Greek word parhesia. Now, the King James Version of the Bible was translated from the Stephen's Greek text. So a lot of times, understanding the Greek text will help us to understand the English words better. So parhesia was a word that's translated boldly or openly or confidently with fearless candor. It's a frankness that under some circumstances amounts to boldness and intrepidity. You're just bold. You know, you've probably seen some people, you know, children sometimes come to you and they're really bold with their requests. Sometimes you can't believe that they're asking for what they're asking for already or again, or I'll just leave it at that. But they have boldness. Well, we can have that kind of boldness to go to our Father that way. We're God's children, so we can come boldly, confidently, openly, with a fearless candor to the throne of God's grace and mercy and talk with our Heavenly Father. You know what? Because He wants us to. He wants us to come and talk with Him. You know, God has an open door policy. You don't have to ring a bell to wake Him up before you go in. That's the purpose of the bells in the churches. It's to wake the sleeping gods up, and then they'll wake up so they can hear your prayer request. So just to make sure that they're awake, you'd ring a bell. God's available 24 hours a day. So anytime, day or night, we can come to Him. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. And we can discuss good subjects with Him. We can discuss bad subjects. If you read the Psalms, you see that David, he made a few mistakes in his life. And he had to go to the Father and ask forgiveness. And he had to go to the Father and go, "Hey, I didn't quite do everything I needed to do right." And there's other Psalms where he's praising God and thankful for God and all the great things that God has delivered him from. And over life, I mean, Jack, old are you now? 39? Oh, over your life, Jack, right? You've been able to, this is Jack, by the way. It's in my contract I have to bring Jack. But throughout your life, there's some great times and there's some not so great times. But God is there to help us all the way through. You know, we read about great deliverances in God's Word of what God has done for His people. But you know what was there before the great deliverance? A great problem. You know, there was a great problem there that needed a great deliverance. And God was there delivering His people from the lion's den, from fiery furnaces, from famines, from gas shortages, from all kinds of things. God's there. Look at Ephesians 3:12. We read, in whom we have boldness. There's that same word, parhesia, again. We have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him, by the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. We have boldness, we have access. The word access is the word for introduction. When we decided to meet the parameters of believing who Jesus Christ is, that God raised Him from the dead, that He's Lord in our life, then Jesus Christ takes us into the throne room of God and introduces us. This is your new child. This is Eric Hutchins. He's your new child. Jesus Christ is introducing him to the Father, and the Father goes, whatever you want, son, we'll take care of you. What do you need? Talk to me. It's all available now. Jesus Christ makes the introduction of his new child, of God's new son. And then it's up to us to keep it alive. God doesn't go, I'll get back to you later. I'm busy. I got a war to handle. There's famine. There's people. There's bad air. There's bad water. There's bad food. He will hear us. It's not a cursory introduction. It's an introduction, a heartfelt God goes, my son, thank you for coming and joining my family. What can I do for you? And unfortunately, too many of us go, I can handle it myself. I don't really need you. Instead of going, hey, open door policy? Look at 1 John chapter 5 here. I think this will help us. 1 John, towards the back of your Bible. God says, whatever you want. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence. Here's that word parhesia again. The confidence, the boldness, the openness, the frankness that we have in Him. That if we ask anything, but it does say according to His will, so we have to know what His will is, He hears us and laughs hysterically. No, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Some of the younger children will come and they will try and get your attention and get your attention and get your attention and get your attention to make sure that mom or dad has heard the request. Right? They keep asking over and over again and you try to ignore them, but finally you go, okay, all right, I've heard you. It's okay. Right. Well, God knows. And that's part of the first off of knowing that God hears. If God hears, then God can do something about it. Whatsoever we ask, well, what falls in the category of whatsoever? Everything. Whatsoever we ask, everything falls in that category. As long as it's according to His will, we find His will from His word, then we know that He hears us because, right, He never sleeps. He's open 24 hours a day. We come boldly. We know then that we can get our petitions, our prayers, our supplications that we desire of Him. Why? Because He's a God who's really limited. He's only got one car for all of us. No. If you need a vehicle, God has a hill with vehicles on it. If you need a job, He's got a hill with jobs on it. Whatever it is that you need, a house. A good grade, sometimes you'll have to figure that out yourself. That part's yours. But the point is that God has a lot of things there already for us. All we have to do is ask it and take the necessary action to receive. Look at 1 John chapter 1. So, we've established that God has an open door policy. We're to come boldly. God will listen. God will help us. God will answer our prayer. And then we can have fellowship with Him. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, so that life can really be a bummer on earth. And you can't wait. Well, sorry, it doesn't say that. That your joy may be full. These things are written that you may have joy, and your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, we can have a full fellowship with God since the door's already open. We have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ through His accomplishments, through the fact that He's making intercession for us daily. today. And it is through enjoying the benefits that he has gained for us because of his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his sending of the gift of the Holy Spirit, all those things that he's accomplished, we can have fellowship with him. And then we are to have fellowship with the family of God. It's great to see everybody. It's really, you know, if you just sit in your office all the time and talk to people on the phone, it kind of gets old. It's great to see people. You can't hug a phone, right? You know, you never know who's listening on your phone. It's so much better to see the family, to help the family. Very thankful a lot of people came down and helped us move from our other location to here. They helped unload the truck and bring the chairs in and to do all the little things that needed to be done to make this such a wonderful place. Fellowship with each other is so nice, so valuable. But it's not that way if all we do is sit around and just, you know, my life's really terrible. You know, let's fellowship over all the negatives that are going on in the world today. But why don't we read the Word and see all the great things that are available for us today? A whole different atmosphere, a whole different change of pace. Look at chapter 3 of 1 John. We'll start in verse 16. Nobody has to be a loner in the body of Christ. We can have fellowship with one another. Our fellowship with Jesus Christ is through his accomplished works. And we can have fellowship with God at all times because it's available. He's available at all times. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and sees his brother has need, and shuts up his bowels, changes his phone number, so they can't get a hold of him, go runs and hides, so he can't talk with you, because I know you got a need, and I really don't want to help you. Look at what this verse says, verse 17 again. But whoso hath this world's good, sees his brother has a need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And because we have confidence towards God, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. And we do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, of his Son, Jesus Christ. And we should love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keeps his commandments dwells in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And we covered a bunch of that last time. Now, so we can go to God and ask them. There used to be a checkbook out there, and there's 10 checks in it, and they were all based on promises like this one. And this was a check that was paid to me. And it was for a church building, a building like this. And I did this originally back in 1985 and updated because I just wanted to build another big room off the house, but parking wouldn't have been very good. So I updated it in 9/24/2001. So 5 years later, from the Bank of God, signed by Jesus Christ, he answered the prayer. So, you think God might do something for you? Or is he partial to short, bald people? No, he's not. But you see, don't let condemnation get in the way. Because that's the only thing that's one of the major things that stops us from receiving the promise of God. We're not worthy. I messed up again. I condemn myself. Boy, if you listen to Jose's manifestation, it was right there again. Just, again, it doesn't matter. Talk to God. That's what he wants. Look at Luke 11. God wants us. We're his family. If you had children and the children want to come talk to you and you're always too busy to do anything with them or to help them, you don't have a real good relationship. You don't have a family. But in God's family, since he's always available, he'll do a lot of things for us. In Luke 11, verse 5, and he said unto them, and you know this is Jesus talking because it's in red. Now, God didn't tell Luke and the apostles, now take out your red pen and write this in red. No, it was people throughout the times when Jesus' words are really important. We'll put them in red so they'll stick out, which is nice. That's great. But it wasn't because God said to do it. Luke 11:5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me three beers. Lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine is, in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So a lot of times, just persistence. And that's the thing is that, when I didn't get this in, next month, and it wasn't handed to me on a silver platter, and nobody willed it to me, all my rich relatives, we could have just given up on it, but it was something that God wanted, and it was a dream. We kept moving forward with it, and now it was an answer. So this verse, this section here, is talking about helping one another, but also persistence. Stay at it. Keep moving forward. Just keep moving forward. If it's according to God's will, God wants you to have the best, so why not? All right. Now, let's keep reading. Let's see if God can give us some good gifts now. Verse 9, And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives. He that seeks, finds. To him that knocks, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that's a father. Right? If Isaac comes to you, Tom, and goes, Hey, Dad, I need some bread. Will you give him a stone? They had a stone that would look like bread in that day and time. So you could just hand them that? Here, eat this, son. It's good for your dental work. No, you wouldn't do that. Or if you would ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? There was like an eel-type fish that was very tasty and prominent in this time frame, but it kind of looked like a serpent. And would you give that instead of a fish if somebody you love comes to you? No, you wouldn't. Verse 12 says, if you shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? There was a scorpion, looked just like an egg. So you go, oh, I've got something for you. You dumb kid. Here, have a scorpion. No. Look, verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? There's a greater gift available today, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's how God can communicate directly with us. Look at Genesis, please, chapter 1. When God made, formed, and created Adam and Eve in the beginning, He put His image, which is Spirit, in them so they could have fellowship, they could have communication. In Genesis, everybody find Genesis? Okay. Chapter 1, verse 27. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. The image of God is spirit. John 4:24 tells us that. God put spirit in Adam and Eve for communication, so they could talk to each other, so they could really have a full sharing. When Adam and Eve sinned, when they broke fellowship, look at chapter 3 now, Genesis verse 8. Let's look at the fellowship that developed after they sinned. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, how do you have fellowship with somebody when they're always running and hiding from you? What does that tell you if you're a parent? That there's an apparent problem here, right? Absolutely. And so God put the Spirit in them. They had wonderful communication. It was a great, great full sharing, fellowship time. And now they're running and hiding. And that's what sin will do. Sin will let condemnation in. It will stop you from going to God for using your all access pass to God. He really doesn't want to talk to me because I think after what I just did, I'm going to go just run and hide. All right, let's look at the next verse. Let's see what other great things happened. And the Lord God called on to Adam and said, Adam, where are you? I can't find you in the trees. It's a wonderful figure of speech. And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. I was afraid. Well, if you're afraid of somebody, do you like being around that person? No, not at all. You want to run and hide. If somebody just, every time you're around them, you're fearful, Well, what do? You can't wait to see that individual because you love being fearful. No? Okay. And that's the point here, is exactly that. Is that we need to get ourselves back in fellowship with the Father and continue to have and utilize our access to Him, because we've got that direct access. God's willing to forgive and forget. God's willing to listen to us. That's why we talk of the good and the bad. Look at, jump forward to Exodus 32. When they sinned, Adam and Eve, they hid from God, they were afraid. Their fellowship was impaired. Exodus 32. Condemnation replaced freedom. It stopped them from doing what God wanted done. Because they were afraid that God was going to, you know, the old Monty Python thing where it stomps people. That's what they're afraid of God. You know, that's what He would do to them. That's not at all what the true God does. He says, get back in fellowship, talk to me, let's discuss it and move on. They lost the spirit, the communication with God. What I want to do is take a few minutes and put you to sleep. No, I want to take a few minutes here and read some records of conversations that people had with God. And some of these are kind of bizarre, too. So it's okay that we can talk all things over with God. Exodus 32:26 is where we're going to start. 32:26. Then Moses stood in the gate. This is right after the golden calf incident. Not a good time for mankind, right? Moses goes up in the mountains for 40 days to get God's law, to talk with God, to get everything that they needed to help God's people from His Word. Meanwhile, they're down there having a giant party, and they put all their gold earrings together, and this golden calf just happens to appear. And then they worship it, and they dance around and listen to Led Zeppelin or Jay-Z or something for your young people, and all of that, and they do all these different things. No, it wasn't good. It was not one of mankind's best days. Let's put it that way. Then verse 26, Moses stood in the gate of the camp. He comes down and goes, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. That's why the Levites became the priests, because they accepted. Who's on the Lord's side? Well, all of us are on the Lord's side. Are all of us perfect? No. We don't need to answer that one. We all know that one. Okay. But we can always have access to the Father and ask forgiveness and also continue to talk with Him. We are on the Lord's side. We're part of His family. Look at verse 30 now. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, "You have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord, peradventure I will make an atonement for your sin." And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin. They've made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore, now go, lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them." This is Old Testament. Jesus Christ has been the complete atonement for all sins. It's a different day and time. But Moses went and said, "Look, forgive the people." He stood in the gap for God's people and said, and this is what Jesus Christ did on our behalf for all of mankind later. But He said, "Blot me out. Keep them all alive. Take my life if need be." God said, "No, you didn't do anything. You're doing what you're supposed to do." Look at now chapter 33, verse 11. Look at what God says about Moses here. 33:11, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." That's why it's so great to come together and fellowship together face to face. Look at how the Lord is talking to Moses face to face like a man speaks to his friend. "And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." So what God said was, God had made a promise that I will be with you and take you into the promised land. And now, because of this golden calf incident, God's going, "I'm not going. I'll send my angel. He'll make sure you get there, but I'm going to stay out here in the wilderness." Now, Moses has to go to work again to make intercession on behalf of the people. Let's see how this conversation goes. Verse 12. "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, Thou sayest unto me, remember, God, you told me to do this. You said, bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. God, they're not mine, they're yours. And he said, all right, God, Moses is convincing God to change. He's standing in the gap for God's people. And God says in verse 14, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto them, Moses says, hey, if thy presence go not with me, then don't bring us in there. I'm not going without you. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. That's what set the children of Israel apart from everybody else. God was with them. God was taking care of them. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 17, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Man, Moses would have been a great used car salesman. No, he did what he was supposed to do. He stood in the gap for God's people. He confessed the sin of the people, and God forgave them and stayed with them. Look at Numbers chapter 11. I'm sure you've probably figured that this was an isolated case with the children of Israel, that they only one time made a mistake. That's why there's five books about them. What they did and how God had to fix it. And how he had his beat with Moses and Aaron and them. All right. Numbers 11, verse 10. Here's another great record. Numbers 11, 10. Okay, the people are out in the wilderness, and they get manna every single day. They have manna recipes that they exchange every day. There's manna cookbooks. Okay? There's southern manna. There's no, you know. Okay. So what's happening is they're getting tired of having free food. They're getting tired of this stuff that's very healthy and tastes really good. And you know what? As some typical males are, they want some meat. And so they're going to complain. And they are very good at complaining. All right. So that's what's happening. They're complaining to God that all we get to eat is this yuck, this free food that tastes good and it's healthy. And it shows up every day. So that's the first 10 verses. So let's pick it up. In verse 11 now. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? What did I do to deserve this, Lord? Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them that they should say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, unto the lamb which thou swears unto thy father? When shall I have flesh to give all this people? They weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all this people alone. It's too heavy for me. Come on, this is Moses, though, right? This is Charlton Heston. Didn't he? Come on, he can handle this. Look what he's doing. This is Moses. You know, too many times we look at the entire end result of a person's life and go, what a great individual. But you know what happened along the way? A lot of the same problems we have. They had to go through, but they prevailed. And so here's the great Moses crying to God, going, hey, these aren't my people, they're your people. I didn't conceive them. How am I going to feed them? I can't handle this. This is too big a problem. Do we ever need to go to God with that type of a, cry? God, help. We should. God wants to help us. After all, he's God. That's his job. He's waiting for us to talk to ask. Boy, then watch what happens. Okay, so here's Moses trying to figure it out himself. And boy, doesn't that sound like us? Too many times we try and figure it all out ourselves. So, verse 15, and if thou deal thus with me, just kill me, I pray thee. Get me out of my misery. This is what he's telling God. For if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of thy hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. The Lord said unto Moses, give me a break. Get 70 people, get 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation that they may stand there with thee. I will come down and talk with thee there. I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee and will put it upon them. They shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Gee, God had a plan. It was amazing how fast he came up with the answer. What will God do for us? Moses was a servant. We're his children. God will do things for us. But we need to have that fellowship. And that Spirit is the key. When we confess Jesus as Lord, believe God raised him from the dead, we get born again of incorruptible seed. We get the Spirit of God born within us. We don't lose it. It's there. Now we can talk to God. Adam and Eve lost it. In this situation, Moses and just a few other people had it, and then it was given to others. Look at Judges chapter 6. It was so difficult just getting four or five of these. There's so many great records. But look at Judges 6. Joshua, Judges. To see people interacting with God. Judges 6:11. This Bible is really good. They ought to make a movie out of parts of it. An accurate movie, how's that? Judges 6:11. And there came an angel of the Lord, and it sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah. That pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Okay, the Midianites are getting ready to come into the land and take everything. If you have food, what do you think an invading army wants? Food. He's got some food. So what he's doing is he's trying to hide the food before the enemy gets there to take it all. All right? Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor. What is he doing? He's hiding for his life and trying to hide food. Oh, mighty man of valor. You got the right guy? That's what's happening here. And Gideon said unto him, yeah, right. Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where are all his miracles, by the way, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherefore shall I save Israel? I can't save Israel. My family's poor in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest child in my father's house. I'm wrong and wrong. There's no way culturally I can do anything. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. And the angel did some great things with him. Jump down to verse 36. Because it takes Gideon a little while to get convinced that God has called him. After all, he's the youngest child and his family's the poorest in the whole tribe. So he's not your leading candidate, your leading star to do this. He's definitely a dark horse candidate to lead Israel at this day and time. Now verse 36, and Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand as thou hast said. And it was so. For he rose up early in the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. God didn't just have a little bit, a whole bowl. And I've got that fleece. I bought it on eBay. 39. And Gideon said unto God, thank you, Lord, for showing me this. Now I know I'm the guy. No, look what he says. Let not thy anger be hot against me, Lord. Oh, Lord, please, let's speak one more thing. I just want one more sign. One more to know that you're really there. That wasn't just an accident. That's just, somebody did that in your stead. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. God knew what this man needed. He helped him. He showed him. And he didn't go, sorry, one sign per customer. That's it. No, this man was going to lead God's people against an army that was so large that they ran out of numbers to number it. And he did that with 300 people. And he asked. And God answered him. God will work with us so that we know that it's God. Look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings 19. God will be there for us. Now, signs is what they needed in the Old Testament. Signs today deal with His written word, deal with the fact we can speak in tongues. But our fellowship with the Father can always be there, and God will help us to make sure we know and understand how He works and what He'll make available for us. 1 Kings 19, verse 9. 1 Kings 19, 9. And he came thither unto a cave. This is Elijah. If you read the record leading up to that, Elijah ran into 450 prophets of Baal, and he had a nice time with them. Then the queen said, I'm going to kill you. So God said, you better run. And he did. And then he went under a tree and said, that's it. I quit. I'm not doing this anymore. And so he fell asleep, and God had an angel come down and prepare some nice food. He woke up, and he ate it. Then went back to sleep. Then God had the angel prepare some more food. He woke up and ate it. And then God, you know, said, okay, 40 days, head. So he went to Mount Horeb. He found a cave on Mount Horeb. Verse 9, he came thither unto a cave, and he lodged in this cave. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They've thrown down thine altars, they've slain your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Poor Elijah. He's the only one left, and nobody loves him. So he ran away. Of course, the queen was trying to kill him. But at least God was with him. And God now is going to say to him, verse 11, go forth, stand upon the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and a strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But you know what? The Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord, not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, lightning. But the Lord, He wasn't in the fire. And that's unfortunately how Hollywood depicts God. In the big wind, in the fire, the thunderbolts and all of that. In all these things, you know, earthquakes. No. Look at how God came to him. In the verse 12. And after the fire, a still small voice. You'll just know God's talking to you. You'll understand. God will make sure you know it. And if you're not sure, ask Him again. That's what Gideon did. And it was so when Elijah heard the still small voice that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because of the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They've thrown down thy altars. They've slain thy prophets with the sword, and I'm the only one left. And they seek my life to take it. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. I've got work for you to do. Here's what I need you to do. And he lays the whole thing out. And then verse 18, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. Hey, he wasn't alone. There were 7,000 others that have stood with them that are doing what God wants done too. So get out there and get busy. Sometimes, you know, that's why it's so important to fellowship with the family. Because sometimes we feel like we're doing it by ourselves. Well, let's get God back in the picture. Let's go to the family for extra strength and help if need be. And we work together. God, you know, He's all, you know, things are going terrible. But God's saying, look, there's a lot more available. Verse 19, so he departed thence and did what God wanted him to do. God said, anoint the next king, get the next prophet. Here's all the things you need to do. And he went and did it. Look at James 1. Back in the New Testament. Hebrews, James. James 1, verse 5. There's so many great records of God talking with His people. And we can come to God that freely, that openly, that honestly, because He's our Father. Remember, we have access all the time. We come boldly before the throne room. And we can boldly say, God, I made lots of mistakes, and I need your forgiveness. And God says, that's great. All right, you're forgiven. Now, let's move ahead with the next step. James 1, verse 5. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Do you need some wisdom? How many different aspects of our life do we need wisdom? It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. Fellowship with God. Ask Him. You got the open door. Ask God. And you know what God does? He gives liberally. He doesn't give you just a little bit of wisdom. He gives you what you need to know. Sometimes you'll get a little bit more the next week. Or as you start moving, you get the next part of the wisdom. But God will have it there for you liberally. And He won't smack you around for asking. He upbraids not. You ask, He'll make sure you get it. And He doesn't go, look, I told you already. He doesn't work that way with us, you know. Which is great. It shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Let him ask believingly, not wavering. For he that wavers, God, I really want you to tell me, but I can go figure it out myself. Don't back and forth with God. Ask believing. Don't waver. For he that waveth is like a wave of the sea tossed through the wind. You know, is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I can do it. No, I can't. Yes, I can. No, I can't. Why? What happens? You don't do anything then. But if you take a little bit of believing, like a grain of a mustard seed, and start acting on it, what happens? You start getting answers. Look at chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 8. James 4:8 says, draw nigh, or draw near to God. If you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. So who's the one that's really moving? Not God. If we have to draw near, then maybe we're the ones that are out here in left field a little bit. We need to get a little bit closer, a little bit closer. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Why? Because you'll have fellowship. You'll have fellowship. Say, you guys moved here from California, didn't you? Do you know these people next to you? You could have more fellowship with them because you live closer to them now, right? Well, you drew near to them, and, you know, they didn't move again. They stayed. All right, well, God is the same way. Draw near to God. It's a great figure of speech, saying, I'm here all the time, come to me, and watch the interaction we can have together as we go through life. Romans 8, we'll close here. If there's nothing more that you can do, continue to develop your fellowship with the Father. God put His Spirit with Adam and Eve so they could have fellowship, and God continues to make it available for us in this day and time as His children to talk with, to make it available for you then to have the best. Do you want the best? Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Traffic on Academy. The high price of gas. Who can be against us? Well, if we haven't paid taxes in a while, the IRS is against us. Let me see. Oh, our children, obviously, they're against us at times. What can we say to the conclusion of this whole matter? If God is on our side, who can be against us? What is your obstacle? You know, would you like to feed 2.5 million people for 40 years in the wilderness? It wasn't that God said, okay, all the fast food restaurants need to close to teach my people a lesson. There's nothing in the desert. There's nothing out there. I've been there. There's nothing out there. And God figured out how to feed 2.5 million people for 40 years, and everybody had as much as they wanted. That's God. He even got them water. See that rock over there? Hit it. Here comes the water. What is it that God can do for you? What do you need? What do you want? What are you asking? Are you asking for just this amount when the whole fountain is available? That's us going to God and finding out what's available. If God be for us, pray tell, who or what can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God? God's going to lay something to your charge? No, he justified you. Why would God want to do that? Right? If you spent all this time and effort to help somebody out, are you going to then condemn them and judge them? No. No, not at all. God justified us. He's not going to lay anything to our charge. Who was he that condemneth? Christ? He died for you. Why would he want to condemn you? I died for you, so get on the ball. No. Christ died. But no, he's risen again. He's at the right hand of God, still working in our behalf. He's making intercession for us. So he's going to condemn you. So why are you condemning yourself? Why are you not going to God? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Distress? A left-handed relief pitcher? It's opening day. I got at least a one baseball reference in it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, mental pressures, distress, or just stress in general. That's a good word today. Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. My internet connection's too slow. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? As it is written, for thy sake, we're killed all the day long. We're just martyrs out there getting beat up every day long. We're just sheep for the slaughter. Nay. 37. No way. Nay. In all these things, in all aspects of life, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And the Greek word is hupernikeo, which means super conquerors. We are super conquerors through him that loved us. In whatever aspect of life you have a need or things are going great, you're a super conqueror. Verse 38 then, for I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. You can put whatever it is that you're facing right in there. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful that you've given us your Spirit so we can walk for you. We're thankful that you love us so much, that your kindness and goodness is with us. Your grace and mercy and forgiveness is there. That you allow us to talk to you, to have full access to you at all times, and that we can come to you with our problems. We can come to you rejoicing. We can come to you as a child would any father, knowing that you have nothing but good things for us. We're thankful, Dad, to be alive in this day and time and hour, to know your word, to live your word, to share it with others, that they too can understand what a great, kind Father you are. We're grateful for everything you make available through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. All right, all you super conquerors, stand up. All right, gang. Till the roll gets called, go have a great week fellowshipping with God.
Crying in the early morning, he was born in a stable, Lord. Reed Memorial is where I was born. And they wrapped you in swaddling clothes, me they dressed in baby blue. When I was 12 years old in the meeting house, I listened to the old men pray. And I was trying hard to figure out what it was that they was trying to say. You were in the temple. They said you weren't old enough to know the things you knew.